Today we're once again talking about God singing over us. Some versions have rejoicing over us with singing. Either way, I like it, don't you? Either way is good. So he sings over us. And we're digging into that a little bit. The first slide up here, you'll see the scripture that I've been using to talk about that. And the scripture is Zephaniah. I know you all know where that is, but Zephaniah. Zephaniah is an Old Testament prophet. And in this Old Testament prophet, he's called one, there's a group of prophets called the minor prophets, not because they weren't 18 years old, but because they didn't write quite as much lengthy stuff as Isaiah or Jeremiah did. But Zephaniah, he was actually, I think, a grandson of King Hezekiah, but great-grandson maybe. Zephaniah the prophet. He watched Judah as they were sinking into depravity and into injustice and into idol worship and paganism. And so God spurred him on to write some judgment passages about that, which this judgment did take place. If you look back to Zephaniah chapter 1, it says a few things about that. Verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, during the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah." Verse 2, "I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth." Well, that's a pleasant start to a sermon, isn't it? And then he goes on to talk about Judah. Verse 4, "I will stretch out my hand against Judah," that's the people of God, "against all who live in Jerusalem. I'll cut off from this place every remnant of Baal," the false god, in other words. But he goes through all the judgment part, and then he comes down to chapter 3, talking about Jerusalem and the future of Jerusalem. I'm giving you this context. To me, it makes more impact when he says that about singing. Because he talks about how God's going to change them, and he's going to make them his people again. And then he comes to verse 17. Zephaniah writes, based on what the Spirit is telling him, "Jehovah your God is with you." Well, I thought we were going to be destroyed. He said, "Yeah, you are." And they were. Babylon came and destroyed the temple of Solomon and everything that they had and sent them into captivity. "But there'll come a day. There'll come a bright, bright day when it's all over. And things will be wonderful." Are you looking forward to a day like that? Exciting day like that where God really comes and works. And so he says, after your repentance and after your punishment, there's going to be some good times. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He can save you even in your worst days. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He'll rejoice over you with singing." Well, why is God going to rejoice over them with singing? Next slide. Why does he sing over them and over us too? Why does he sing over us? And I put this line, the next line, because our judgment is over. When was he going to sing over Judah? Oh, it's all done. It's all bought and paid for. You suffered. It's all changed. Judgment has come. Judgment has been released. Judgment is over. Now let's come back together and I'll just sing and be happy over you because I still love you. I'm mighty to save. I don't care how far you go, I can save you. I can bring you out. And when I bring you out, we're going to have a wonderful time. I'm singing over you. Why does he sing over us? Because our judgment is over too. Our judgment has passed. Next slide is going to show you that if you're trying to write these things down. I know a lot of people hear this on podcast, which is audio. It's on our website. You can look it up. CalhounChurch.org is our website. This passage is from Jesus himself. "Very truly, I tell you." Did Jesus always tell the truth? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Always did. Always tells the truth today. But I want you to hear this. He said, I'm going to emphasize this. "Very truly," this is a true statement, "very truly I say to you, Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Has eternal life. Sounds like past tense to me. You already have it. Has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. What? If you believe on Jesus, what does he say? Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, the Father, but do you also have to believe Jesus? Yeah, well, that's part of it. Very truly, I tell you, whoever, that's male or female, Jew or Gentile, wealthy person, poor person, good person, bad person, whoever it is, you hear that word and you believe the Father. You believe him, you believe in him, but you believe him when he tells you something. You believe Jesus when he tells you something. You don't just believe in him. The demons know Jesus exists and that he's the Son of God, but they don't trust him and they don't follow him. You believe on him and you hear this message, and what does he say? When you hear this message and believe the one who sent me, you have, he has, anyone has eternal life and will not be judged. I have people ask me once in a while, well, when's the day of judgment? When's all that going to happen in the day of judgment? Closest thing I can get to it is Revelation, about chapter 20, isn't it? The great white throne judgment. And all the books were brought out. And all the people were judged by what was written in the books, except for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you believe on Jesus and you are a follower, I'm not talking about this stuff where people just say, yeah, I believe on Jesus. Well, the demons do that. They know he's the Son of God. You make a confession when you're baptized. Yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Well, so do demons. No, he's talking about the kind of belief and the kind of faith that spurs you on to follow, that you're a disciple. You signed on as an apprentice. That's what the word disciple means. I'm an apprentice to Jesus, and I'm going to follow him and do exactly what he tells me to do. And if I make a mistake, he'll help me. If I don't quite get it, he'll show me again. It'll show me again. But I'm going to follow him and I will be his disciple. And I'm going to be what he wants me to be. And I'm sold out to that. Forget the past and forget your life and say, I'm following him. If you sign on, Jesus said one time, things like, if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. What's he talking about? He's talking about giving your life to him. You have it, Lord. You have my life. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. Forget me. Forget me. If you believe on him and you're, I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying you do everything right. I'm not saying you don't sin. I'm just saying, do you trust him? Do you believe in him? Do you follow him? He said, if you do, you're not going to be judged. You've already, when were you already judged? We just read it at communion. When Christ was crucified and you were crucified with him, if you believe in him, you were crucified with him and all your sins have been washed away, haven't they? What about the sins I commit tomorrow? He's got that too. 1 John, doesn't it say that in 1 John about chapter 1? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with his Son. And he cleanses us from all sin. If we're faithful to ask, he's faithful to forgive, isn't he? So he's always taking care of that. He's taking care of your sin problem. Get that in your soul, your spirit. He's taking care of my sin problem. Yes, I make mistakes, but he's willing to forgive me, and he has forgiven me, and he's washing it away every day. I'm continuing to walk in the light. Light means what you see, what you know. You walk in what you already know. Don't worry about the things you don't know. If you know it out of the book, walk in it. Walk in that light. He's taken care of your sin problem, therefore you're not judged. Say what? You mean I'm not going to be there at the judgment day? Oh yeah, you'll be there, but it won't be for judgment. It will be to get your reward. It'll be the glorious thing in Revelation where he talks about he will wipe away all our tears. All those good things he's going to that it talks about in Revelation that he'll do for us. He's got it. He's taken care of it. The whole idea of believing in him says, I trust him to take care of me. I trust in him that he's telling me the truth when he says, I'm not going to be judged. He's already been judged on your behalf. If you were judged, it would have killed you. If you were judged, it would have destroyed you, body, soul, and spirit. You're not judged. We are judged in him, and he's already been judged. You've been crucified. You've been to hell. Did Jesus suffer hell in 6 hours on the cross? Did he go somewhere? He went somewhere for 3 days. We don't know exactly all of what happened there, but he went to the abyss, or not the abyss, but a similar word used in the New Testament. But the idea is he took care of it. That's what faith in Jesus is. He took care of it. I don't have to worry about it. Sometimes it doesn't sink in, and I know it doesn't because we go around glum and depressed and worried and scared and afraid and unhappy, and greatest thing that ever happened to you was Jesus died for your sins and you accepted it. And you have eternal life. Look at that scripture again. What does it say? Jesus said, you hear my word, believe in me, he said, you have eternal life. You have what? Anyone who does that has eternal life and will not be judged. But it's crossed over from what? Death to life. He's talking about spiritual death to spiritual life. Did I make that up? Did I sneak in and just write something down and put it up there? No, you can open your Bible and read it for yourself, right? If you believe on him and you believe on the Father, what the Father tells you, he says, you believe that if you hear my word, you believe the one who sent me, this person has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Crossed over from, you were dead in your sins and transgressions, weren't you? And now you've crossed over. Oh, that'll make you happy. Happy, happy. Happy, happy. I saw two preachers on TV, and they were at a table, and they were talking about some of these things. And one of them said, I might just have to get up and run around this table. The other guy said, well, if you need to, go ahead. So I don't think he ran, but he just felt it inside, didn't he? He was like, this is for me. This is mine. If you believe this, if you believe Jesus, you're not going to be judged. If you believe what this scripture says, you're going to have a happy life. Because our sin problem, sin is a force. It's an evil force. And Jesus got it off of you. Our sin problem is that we can't relax and we can't be happy and we can't live life and we're always second guessing ourselves and we're worried about the past and we're worried about the future. And sin is a terrible thing, and it makes us feel guilty, and it makes us feel like we don't measure up, and it makes us feel like, I hope I don't get judged by God, and what's going to happen to me, and will I go to heaven, or maybe I won't, maybe I will. John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, these things I've written to you, verse 13, these things I've written to you so you may know that you have eternal life. How do you know you have eternal life? Because if you know Jesus, you have eternal life. If you have eternal life, takes the pressure off. If Jesus were to come right now, come Lord, that's what Revelation says, come Lord, we're ready. If he comes right now, you'd have life with him in eternity forever. If you die tonight before you get back to this building, where do you go? To be with Christ. Paul said it's far better than what you got here. What you've got here is, you're going to have trials and problems and difficulties even if you don't serve Christ. You don't tell anybody about Jesus. But if you do tell somebody about Jesus, you could probably be persecuted or be talked bad about at least. Sin problem. He dealt with it. Believe him and say, Lord, I know you dealt with it. I trust you. Do you have to go to the point and say, I can't fix it myself, Lord? I just make a mess of things. I can't fix it myself. So I know you said you did. I have eternal life. That helps me get through this world's problems, difficulties. Doesn't that help you get through? When I was a kid, I had to go to the doctor a couple of times. I had a couple of disease. I had hepatitis one time, and you kind of have to take the shot, you know. And I had to take the IVs and the shot. But there was always kind of I had good parents and a good staff in the hospital, and it was like, okay, if you get all this done, you can have some ice cream. Okay, let's do it, you know. Does God say, "It's great things are on the way. Just hold on. Hold on to what you got. And keep doing. And keep believing. The greatest thing is don't let your faith fail. You keep believing and you keep saying, Lord, I believe you. What do you want me to do? I believe you. I'll be happy to do. I'll be happy to do. Why are we not thrilled about serving Jesus? Why are we not thrilled about it? It's like, that's the greatest thing you can do in your life. It lasts forever. Serving Him lasts forever. And it's why we're not just thrilled to say, oh, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do, Lord, for you? I know what I can do for you. It's not going to make you that much difference, but let me do something. Let me do something. A grateful person. If you give a grateful person a brand new vehicle, what are they going to say? Oh, thank you, thank you. What can I do? Can I run some errands for you? What can I do for you? Why are we not just thrilled to say, I get to serve Jesus like Peter did and Paul did and Ananias did and all these wonderful people. I get to be in that crowd. I get to be in that group. And I have the same destiny as Jesus Himself. He's raised from the dead. Glorified. That's my destiny. Why are we not thrilled about it? Well, there's this one little word here in John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes, if you really believe, there's a couple of rattlesnakes in this room, what would you do? Tear the pews up getting out of here, right? If you really believe there's a tornado on the way, what would you do? If you really believe, if I got up here and I said the church has come into a good bit of money, you know, a donor that gave us a lot of money, and so everybody today, before you leave here today, you're going to get $10,000. They give you $10,000 on the way out the building. No, he's just joking. They don't have that kind of money. He's not going to give. Anybody that believes would hang around and give some money, wouldn't you? So believing is the key. Having faith in Him. Take your faith off yourself. Take your faith off other people. Guess what? Other people will disappoint you, and they will let you down. The closest people in your life will let you down sometimes. So you just say, I pray for them because I got flaws myself. And so I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to trust Jesus because He'll never let me down. Never will. Never will. I see people in life, I've seen it a lot, and I did it when I was young. You find something, get so excited about it. That's the best car I've ever bought. And you know, this, I'm always going to buy this brand car, and then the next one's a dud. And you say, well, I thought they were a good car. They don't build a good car, you know. We get so excited about something. But if it's human, it's going to be flawed, isn't it? Anything human's got to have flaws in it. If you believe Him, you have eternal life, and you will not be judged, but what? Cross over from death to life. The next slide, Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Romans 5, we kind of gotten stuck on Wednesday night. Because it says Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, there's that believe idea again, right? Faith in Jesus. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. We have what? Not just peace. Christmas, it's always peace on earth, goodwill to men. What does this say? Peace with God. Similar to what he just said, or what we just read in John 5, peace with God means I'm not going to be judged. I've already been judged. I've already been judged, and it wasn't up to what I did or what I haven't done. I've already been judged. And Jesus said, come on in. You're okay. Come on in. You got authorized. You got bona fide. Come on into the family. How'd that happen? By what he did. It's always by what he does, not what faltering, feeble effort we do. We always fail. We have good days. This church has wonderful days. Other days we don't do so well. You have the same thing. Sometimes your faith is pretty high. Sometimes your faith is low. Sometimes you're happy. Sometimes you're not happy. Sometimes you read your Bible every day, and sometimes you don't even want to open it. But he's always faithful, isn't he? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, into this grace wherein we now stand. We've been justified through faith. We have peace with God. Next slide. This is going to be John 17. John 17 is Jesus' prayer. The whole chapter of John 17 is Jesus' prayer right before the cross for his disciples. You ought to read that sometime. I guarantee it'll take you several times reading it to really grasp even a little of it, because it's him praying. And our prayer lives are weak compared to his, but he's praying some stuff there, that some things there that you really lock in on. John chapter 17. What does it say in 17? This is the beginning of it. For you granted, he's talking to his father here. For you granted him, or Jesus, authority over all people, that he might do what? Give eternal life to all those you have given him. He has authority over every human being. I saw a post not long ago where preachers were kind of this little debate going, and one of them said, why couldn't Michael the archangel come and die for our sins? My immediate thought was, because he's not human. Humans have to die for humans. Humans got us into this mess, and a human being named Jesus got us out of it. It took a human. Hebrews teaches that about him being our great high priest. But you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life. Does he give it to us? We don't earn it, do we? He gives it to us. To all those who you have given, the Father has given him. Next slide. Now this is eternal life. Here's what I was shooting for. This is eternal life. What's eternal life? Jesus' definition. This is eternal life. What is it? That they may know you. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17, verse 2 and 3. What's eternal life? Is it know about God? Study books about God? Study theology? It's not that. He didn't say that. It's not know about God. The demons know. And they tremble. They know, and they are shocked to the core to think about who Jesus is, and they tremble. And the devil, if you act on that, and you, in the power of the Spirit, you say, leave, the devil has to leave. He runs away from us if we resist. So this is the idea that eternal life is what? To know him, not just know about him, that they may know you, the only true and living God. Let's look at that for a minute. Mark chapter 5, and we'll be done with this, but Mark chapter 5 is a story. Do you like stories? Sometimes stories make a lot of sense, don't they? We could talk all day long about certain things, but when you come to a story, it helps. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. I'm going to have to read some of it for you to get the point. So let me do that, a little of it. If you have your Bible handy, it would help. Mark chapter 5. He's traveling with his disciples. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Well, that's pretty bad right there, a guy living in the tombs and in the cemetery. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore. Not even with a chain. for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. Oh, I wouldn't want to mess with that guy, would you? Whew. No one was strong enough to subdue him. I've heard stories. I have a relative that's a retired police officer, and he said there are times when somebody's so high on drugs, you shoot them four or five times, they don't even feel it because they got anesthetic in them. This man didn't have anesthetic in him, but he had demons. So he could rip apart chains. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out to cut himself with stones. Somebody that cuts themselves needs to get help because you got some kind of demonic influence. Cuts themselves on purpose. And it feels good when you cut yourself. No. He cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." Why were they always worried about demons, always worried about being tortured by Jesus? He could do it if he wanted to, couldn't he? For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." Roman legion is thousands, isn't it? And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Why did they not want to go out of the area? Because demons and evil angels are territorial. Why are some cities great places to live and other cities are horrible places to live? Territorial. Some evil spirits are territorial. They like their territory, and if a city leaders will let them, they'll camp there. Churches let them, they'll camp there. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission. I like that. He gave them what? Permission. Jesus said, "You have my permission." If he didn't give his permission, what happened? They're not able to go. I'm glad I know Jesus, don't you? Because you're glad too, aren't you? Because the devil's afraid of you. If you're in Christ, he's afraid of you. He gave them permission. They went in and the evil spirits came out, went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number. How many demons were there? Well, at least 2,000. 2,000. How'd this man get that messed up? Better watch out what you give yourself to. Whatever spirit you give yourself to, that's what you become. If you give yourself over to anger all the time, that's what you become. If you give yourself to unbelief, that's what you become, an unbeliever. 2,000 in number rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed, and in his right mind. That man? Running around naked in the tombs and graveyards, sleeping there, screaming all night long, tearing chains apart. Nobody could stop him. Nobody could arrest him. Even to get him some help. And it was horrible. Horrible. Here he is seated. Some of the disciples, I guess, gave him a robe or something. He put on some clothes. He must have looked rough. I mean, I'm sure he hadn't shaved in years, probably. Hair long, matted, nasty body. He's out there in the middle of the graveyard, laying out there, staying out there. And here he is, with his clothes on, sitting down. Isn't that what it says? Sitting there, calmly. Oh, my Lord is powerful, isn't he? My Lord Jesus is just powerful. He can fix anything if you ask him. Dressed in his right mind, they were afraid. These people said, "Who in the world is this Jesus guy? If he can do this, I'm afraid of that. If he can..." Of course, he had ruined all their pigs. It's like, they finally asked him to leave. That doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense to me. Why would they ask Jesus to leave? Because they're afraid of the supernatural, but they had it all around them. But they were afraid. I guess they were afraid he would hang around there and make the devil even madder, maybe. I don't know. But they were afraid. They asked him to leave. Verse 17. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And Jesus was, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. I bet he did. Let me go. I'm hanging next to you. Let me stay with you. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family. So he had a family. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. And one, what was that? Like a few seconds. Life, complete turn, 180 degrees. How much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. The Decapolis means 10 cities. There was a little circuit of 10 cities next to that lake over there. And he traveled over those cities preaching Jesus. And everybody heard him preach and they said, Are you the guy that was? That was me. All dressed up in his Sunday clothes and shaved and in his right mind and preaching Jesus. You see, the point is, God sings over us when our judgment is over. Do you think all heaven rejoiced when that man got rid of the demons and preached out there preaching the gospel? Do you think the heaven rejoiced? Did God sing over that thing? God had mercy, and he sang. He sang over that because at this point, Jesus' presence brought him through the judgment, and now he's saved and has eternal life. Some of our group always said, what about baptism? Well, baptism hadn't been. Nobody was baptized into Christ until Christ died and was raised. Then you could be baptized into Christ, right? He didn't have to be baptized at that point. The presence of God heals your body. The presence of God heals your spirit, your soul. The presence of God's the answer to all your problems. Seek His presence. Seek Him in your prayers. Seek Him in your Bible reading. When you get your Bible out, read it by faith. In other words, read a passage. You're reading a book of the Bible, and you're saying, Father, as I start reading this, I want to learn. I want you to help me grow. I want you to help me get closer to you by reading these passages here. Can he do that with 2 Samuel? Of course he can. He can lead you and help you. You have to go through the judgment to get to the presence of God. Last slide. Who is it that overcomes the world? How did this man overcome the world? How did the demoniac overcome the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Didn't he call Jesus the Son of God while he still had demons in him? So that tells me no matter how bad you are, you can still say, Lord Jesus, help me. This man had thousands of demons in him. And I'm sure he was a tortured person. Even his voice was tortured, and he couldn't think, and he couldn't think straight, and things were muddled in his head. But he could get that out, couldn't he? Son of God, don't torture me. He threw himself down in front of Jesus. I don't care how bad off a person is, it's still there. The ability, God always gives you the ability to choose. You can still choose to say, I want to follow Jesus and get rid of my demons and get rid of what's harassing me. This slide is who is it that overcomes the world? 1 John 5, verse 5, who is it? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So do you have to believe Jesus is the Son of God? God sings over us. He's singing over us this morning because we have been through the judgment. We just read it. Jesus said it. Anyone who believes on me will not be judged. not be judged. You've passed from death to life. Are you excited and happy about new life in you? You may not feel like it right now, but you've had it for a long time. You believers out there, you've had it a long time. And so go back and stir it up. Peter wrote to the church one time and said, I want to stir up your remembrance. I want to stir you up to remember how powerful he is, how much good he has done for you and to you and through you. He's going to do great things through this church if we believe on Jesus. If we stay with him and remember that we've crossed over. It's a great relief. Somebody has cancer and they get through all the treatments. Some of you know that. I've been through that. Some of you know what that's like. You cross over and it's like, I don't have to worry about that right now. You don't have to worry about judgment right now. Just live for the Lord and say, I'm excited. I'm thrilled that he wants to use me to change the world. Isn't that good? He's always good to us. We're going to pray over the notebook here. We have names in there that these people need to have the experience that the demoniac had, right? They need to come to Christ. And so we're going to pray over them right now. Father, we are so grateful for your care and concern for all of us. Thank you for Jesus and all that he did for us and all that he went through for us. We are grateful to you, Father, that because we believe on him, we overcome the world. We ask you that as we're praying for these individuals in the notebook, that you touch their hearts and lives, and that you'll send somebody their way to cross their path. Send us, if there's somebody around that's close to us, whatever we need to do, you'll assign. This is your work, not ours. And we're thrilled to be able to do it. We thank you for that, Father. We ask for these individuals that you'll help them and you'll cause them to see the light that just like this demoniac, I don't know that anybody in that day, in that community, would have ever thought that would happen. The man himself probably never thought anything about it. And all of a sudden, the opportunity is there for Jesus to have mercy on him, and he did. We pray mercy on these people in the notebook that with your mercy, they will hear the message and they'll believe it, follow it. They'll serve you. I know there's some in there that probably fell away, but tells me they really weren't stuck the first time. They didn't quite understand everything. They didn't quite get everything they needed. We leave them to you, Father. We thank you for your blessing and pray for many souls to come to Christ in his name. Amen.